A trial begins today in Florida for the gunman who killed 17 people and injured 17 more at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It's the beginning of jury selection for the sentencing phase for Nicholas Cruz. NPR's Greg Allen has been following the story since the day of the shootings, more than 4 years ago. He joins us now from Miami. Greg, can you just remind us of the events that have led up to this sentencing phase?
Right. Well, Nicholas Cruz has already pleaded guilty to all charges. That means the trial will now proceed to the sentencing phase. It'll be up to a jury to decide whether he receives life in prison or the death penalty.
What are some of the details, Greg, grim as they may be, about the shooting that the jury is going to hear?
Right. I mean, some of us recall this. Nicholas Cruz had been expelled from the school a year earlier. He had a history of emotional and behavioral problems. On Valentine's Day in 2018, he entered a building and began firing his AR-15-style rifle in the hallways and into classrooms. He left behind a scene of carnage, 14 students and 3 adults dead, at least 17 other students seriously injured. The day after the shootings, freshman Kelsey Friend told me that she escaped by ducking back into a classroom.
Then we heard bop, 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 and my teacher, Mr. Beagle, did open the classroom door to let us in, but I had thought he was behind me, but he was not. He did, unfortunately, pass away.
Teacher Scott Beagle was one of the 17 killed. The horrific tragedy immediately raised questions about the law enforcement response to the shootings, about missed warning signs that Cruz was planning an attack, and about laws that allow a troubled teen to own a gun. The day after the shootings, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel said those questions would have to wait.
Right now, the focus of the FBI and the Broward Sheriff's Office is on the successful prosecution of this killer.
Israel later lost his job, removed by the governor after he was accused of incompetence and negligence in his department's response to the shooting. Students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School became anti-gun violence activists, in part because of their voices. Florida passed laws preventing people under 21 from buying rifles and allowing police to seize weapons from those deemed dangerous to themselves or others. The FBI and the Broward County School District separately agreed to big monetary settlements with the families of those killed and injured. But for the families, their main focus has remained on Cruz and seeing him face justice. For many, that means the death penalty. Tony Montalto is the father of Gina Montalto, one of the 17 killed that day.
He deserves every chance that he gave my daughter and the 16 others.
In the trial's penalty phase, jurors will have two choices: give Cruz what the defense is asking for, life in prison, or what the prosecution says is the only acceptable sentence, death. Last fall, Cruz's defense surprised many when he decided to plead guilty. Appearing in court, he addressed the judge and the families of those he killed and injured.
I am very sorry for what I did, and I have to live with it every day. And if I were to get a second chance, I will do everything in my power to try to help others.
Stephen Harper is a longtime public defender and expert on death penalty cases in Florida. He says with so many people killed and injured, this is an extremely difficult case for the defense.
The prosecutor is going to argue that this was a totally evil and unnecessary and horrible act. The defense is going to argue that their client was seriously mentally ill.
There have been lots of pretrial motions and hearings about the type of experts and evidence the defense will be allowed to present on what they contend is Cruz's impaired mental condition. Harper says that evidence may include electroencephalogram tests and other forms of brain scans.
His mother was apparently an alcoholic and a drug abuser, and in utero, he would have been exposed to some very serious things that could have affected clearly his mental capacity. So those things are very relevant.
The jury's sentencing decision must be unanimous. For the defense, that means finding one juror who may be swayed by evidence of mental illness. Phil Reisenstein, an attorney who's had many death penalty cases, says the heinous, premeditated nature of the mass shooting will be hard for the defense to overcome. The jury will see videos recorded by students of some of their classmates' last moments. And he says they'll hear eyewitness testimony of teachers and students who survived.
They're going to get on the stand and they're going to tell the jurors what they felt, their fear and their horror of seeing their friends murdered. That is going to be just bombshell testimony for the prosecution.
The jury will also hear statements from the families of those who were killed. Tony Montalto says he and his wife Jennifer will be there to talk about their daughter Gina, even though he acknowledges it will be painful.
Every day is painful for us after our daughter was murdered. This cold, calculated, and deliberate act deprived us of our beautiful and loving daughter.
I mean, this is just going to be an excruciating experience, Greg, for these families, this sentencing trial.
Right, and I think the jury selection is going to take quite a while. They're thinking 3 weeks for now. The trial itself might be 4 to 6 months. The defense may seek a change of venue during the jury selection process if it finds it too difficult to seat an impartial jury. That carries its own risks, though. This is such a high-profile case, it'll be hard to find jurors anywhere in Florida that don't already have an opinion, some thoughts about it.
NPR's Greg Allen in Miami. Greg, thanks for your reporting on this.
You're welcome.